Right here, in a haze of tobacco smoke and cheap hamburger fumes, I was on the skid row of finance. Places like this specialize in the walking dead of failing corporations. At the age of 10, I resided in some kind of a marital no man's land, a beautiful but loveless gabled house in the leafy little township of Bolton, Massachusetts, some 20 miles west of downtown Boston. My father, Lawrence G. McDonald, had accepted the end of his marriage and had left my stunning fashion model mother to bring up their 5 children all on her own. I was the oldest. The general drift of the breakup was rooted in my dad's hard-driving business career. Owner and chief executive of a chemical engineering company, he might have stepped straight out of a suburban cocktail party staged on the set of The Graduate. Plastic, son, that's the future. And I guess in a way it was the future. At least it was his future, because plastics made him a stack of money, enough to start his own brokerage firm, and it only took him about 29 hours a day, 7 days a week, to do it. He was obsessed with business. So far as my mom was concerned, that was the upside. The downside was his devotion to the game of golf, which took care of his entire quota of spare time. For all of my formative years, he played to scratch or better. As the club champion of Woods Hole Golf Club, down on the shores of Nantucket Sound, he had a swing that was pure poetry, relaxed, precise, and elegant, the club head describing a perfect arc through the soft sea air as it approached the ball. Also, he could hit the son of a bitch a country mile. Mom never really saw him, since she never landed a job as a greenskeeper, and he saw her principally in magazines and on giant billboards around Boston, where dozens of images showed her modeling various high-fashion accessories. When I referred to the marital home being loveless, I was not quite accurate. There was a burgeoning love in that house, but it did not involve Dad. He'd moved out, and many months later, a new suitor for my mother appeared on the horizon. Years later, they were married, but even at my young age, I realized he must have been some kind of Latter-day Saint, taking on this very beautiful lady with the staggering encumbrance of 5 kids and a kind of rogue husband prowling around the outskirts of her life, keeping an iron grasp on every nickel of her finances. The name of the new man, who would one day become my stepfather, was Ed O'Brien. He was an extremely eminent lawyer and a grandson of a former governor of New Hampshire. Ed was a very classy guy, and he adored Mom and helped her in every way. He was not so big and tough as Dad, who had a touch of John Wayne about him, a kind of Western swagger and a suggestion of unmistakable attitude, which often goes with entirely self-made men. Anyway, right now, I want to get to the point. Remember, Dad did not live with us anymore, and Ed occasionally stayed the night. Well, on this particular morning, I was standing in the living room, staring out of the window at Ed's brand-new Mercedes-Benz convertible, a $100,000 car even way back then in the late 70s. Suddenly, I saw a car pull up outside the front gates. Into the expansive front yard strode Lawrence G. McDonald, wielding what looked to me like a 7-iron. He came striding up to Ed's automobile and took an easy backswing, left arm straight, and completely obliterated the windshield in a shower of splintered glass. The club head struck right above the wipers, a little low. I thought Dad might have raised his head just a tad on impact. Never breaking stride, he walked resolutely to the front of the car, took aim, and smashed the right side headlight. Moving left, he ripped the club back fast. I thought I detected a slightly tighter swing, hands a little further down the club. Anyhow, he did precisely the same to the headlight on the left. By this time, there was glass all over the place, and still I just stood there, gaping, wide-eyed. I watched Dad stride around to the back of the car, and for a moment, I thought he was planning to survey his handiwork. You know, like standing back after you've dropped a 10-footer. I was wrong. Once more, he took his stance, swung the club back, and fired it straight into the taillight on the left side, shooting red glass all over the lot. Then he moved 2 paces right, and with precisely the same shot, slightly wristy with a lot of backspin, punched out the other one. If either taillight had been a golf ball, it would have flown high and dug in on landing, probably pin high. There was a lot of precision about Dad's play that morning. I mention this because the incident is branded into my memory. It took me 10 years to ask him about it, and he replied as only he, or perhaps John Wayne, could. Real slow. It wasn't a 7-iron, son. Didn't need any more than a pitching wedge. It would be another 30 years before I would witness, at very close quarters, another such act of wanton, willful destruction. And that took place on the trading floor of a Wall Street investment bank.